want to ask your guys' opinion on something this morning, and I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree with the following statements. Okay, answer carefully. Number one, agree or disagree? I feel like Howie Mandel, deal or no deal? Agree or disagree? Because Jesus was a man of love and peace, wherever he is proclaimed, the reaction will always be one of love and peace. Agree or disagree? Disagree. A lot of thumbs down out there. Really? You guys feel that way? Okay. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Number two, agree or disagree? Because Jesus was gentle in spirit, wherever he is proclaimed, the response will always be one of gentleness. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Wow, is that unanimous? Wow, okay, okay.
We agree to disagree.
Yeah, we all agree to disagree. Thank you, Mark. Third one, agree or disagree? Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, we should not be surprised if the devil fights back against the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Agree. One thumb up, two thumbs up. Hearty agree. All right. I think we're all on the same page. Praise God. Because Jesus, he said, well, it says in 1 John, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we're in for a battle. If we come and proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and come in to basically pillage and plunder the enemy camp, we should not be surprised, should we, if in the process he decides to counterattack and fight back. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like, you know, there was a victory going on in your life, God was doing great things, you were excited and joyful, and all of a sudden something blindsided you that felt like a Mack truck going down the highway? Anybody ever felt that way? Pulled the rug right out from under your feet, and you're left on your back on the ground going, what in the world was that? Could have been a counterattack. I've heard it said that the more success you're having, the harder the enemy strikes back. So if he knocks you on your butt, basically, be encouraged. You must be doing something right. Praise God. We're going to talk about that today. Last week in our study of the book of Acts, we saw the Apostle Paul. We've been studying. This will be week number 40 in our study of the book of Acts. This will be week number 3 on the part that has to do with the city of Ephesus. And we saw how that when Paul came to town, he came to the city of Ephesus. The place was just overrun with demonic oppression. It was the capital of goddess worship in all of Asia Minor. And Paul came in. He was preaching the Gospels. He preached Christ in the synagogue. He had some success. Some folks believed in the Lord. They started following him, built up a little core group of followers, and then some other folks that didn't believe basically gave him a hard time. So he left the synagogue and rented a building called the School of Tyrannus, started a little, you know, mini seminary there, raising up disciples, training them in the ministry, evangelizing. The church began growing. Those disciples were making other disciples, and it said the word of God spread throughout all Asia. It took off like wildfire. So there was the gospel going out. People were getting saved. They were getting water baptized. They were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were getting discipled and trained in the ministry. They were going out and reaching other people for Christ. The church was growing by leaps and bounds in the midst of a city that had previously been given over to paganism. And at that point, it looked really terrific. In fact, God even took it to another level. He began doing unusual miracles through Paul, so that cloths and aprons that had been on his body were then taken and laid on sick people or people who were demon-possessed. And those spirits would leave them, and those diseases would leave them, and they would be made whole simply by the power of God that was sort of less abiding on those pieces of cloth. Now, at that point, I would have to say that is a phenomenal success to walk into the heart of darkness in the devil's own backyard, where the temple of Diana was sitting there as the seventh wonder of the ancient world, to go in that place and have that kind of success is mind-boggling. That is staggering, phenomenal success. Praise God. In fact, we saw last week, you know, demons being cast out and everything. Word started getting around. A bunch of itinerant Jewish exorcists tried to do the same thing. They tried to cast a demon out of a man using the name of Jesus. Of course, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't believe in Jesus. But they said, "We exorcise you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." And what did the demon say? "I know Jesus and I know Paul. But who are you?" That's right. And he leaped on the men, beat them to a pulp until they ran out of the house wounded and naked. And it says that, yeah, that's the Eastern Shore translation, the ESV. And in fact, I think Dave has a copy of that, the little leather thing, the ESV. And so word got out, and people, it says fear fell on the people. They all began to realize the power that really is in Jesus Christ and how wicked and demonic this darkness was that they were dabbling in. And it says that they brought all of their magical occult charms and amulets and writings and books and things of that nature. They put it in a big pile and they just burned the whole thing up. And it was estimated that the value of those things they burned up was 50,000 pieces of silver. And a piece of silver was basically a day's wage for a laborer. So it's 50,000 days of pay for a laborer. That's a lot of money. We kind of figured it to be around $4 million in today's money. Now, phenomenal success. Here's the question. Do you think, with that kind of success, do you think the devil would simply sit back and let his kingdom be plundered? And your options are A, no, B, heck no, or C, sorry, I was asleep. What was the question? How many would say A? How many would say B? How many say would say C? Okay, good. I've got my eye on you. Heck no. Of course he would not just sit back and let them come right into his backyard and plunder his kingdom and rob him of souls. He's not known as the devil for nothing. He is, in fact, the prince of darkness. He is Satan. He has demons under him like a hierarchy of an army. And he's not just going to sit back and let these guys do that unanswered. So he's going to fight back. We'll see that he fights back in this situation in Ephesus with one of the most powerful tools that he has at his disposal, a little five-letter word known as greed. Greed, avarice, covetousness. This wicked sin is at the heart of some of the most nightmarish, widespread crime organizations in the world. We were talking just the other day. We were over at a friend's house having dinner, and we were talking about the nightmare of human slavery, human trafficking, how they kidnap innocent women and children and sell them into sexual slavery so they can be raped 5 or 6 times a day for a few years until they're used up and then just basically killed and buried somewhere. You know what's at the... It had been, years ago, the third largest crime syndicate in the world. They estimate now that the revenue from that has even topped drug abuse, and that it's pretty much peaking at the top criminal money-making rackets of the world. And do you know what's behind that? Greed. Nothing but greed. That they would sell human beings into that nightmare just to make themselves rich at their expense. But he has it everywhere. And Satan uses it whenever and wherever he can, from the simplest level to the biggest level. And that's what he uses in this particular scenario. Let's take a look at Acts 19, starting at verse 23. You're welcome to turn there. We're going to pop it up on the screen. And we're going to see that in the city of Ephesus, there was a riot going on. Verse 23. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, the gospel basically. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, the goddess, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation, and he said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Next page. "And when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians!' And so the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord." It's a large amphitheater. "Having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions, and when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not even know why they had come together." Next page. "And they drew Alexander out of the multitude," the Jews putting him forward, "and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians!'" And you can imagine the noise as these people just chanted over and over and over, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" A total mob scene swept the city. The entire city was caught up in this craziness.